to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, end times, Mayan mysteries, visits from the star people, so much to put together, and correcting the perception that the Mayans are yesterday's news.
Yes.
We have Brendan O'Brien, we have Johnny Chanel, we have Cliff Mahoney. Johnny, you were going to say something before, and I had to interrupt you, but let's do it.
Okay. That misperception is based on a misunderstanding that happened when the first tourists started going to the Mayan ruins, and it created a mystique in that there were some people that were here, but now they're not here anymore, very much like the Anasazi, in that they were here and now they're not here anymore. So the tourists all got, they looked at the old pyramids and everything, all the old structures, everything. They said, oh, well, you know, it must have been a magnificent civilization. It's too bad that they're gone. Well, everybody just kind of let them hold that thought. They let that, they have for the mystique factor. And they still have the thing where you can go on a tour bus to go to Chichen Itza, and the guide on the tour will speak as if the Maya are gone, without ever telling the people that I, for one, am Maya, the tour guide, or all the people that are doing the landscaping at your hotel and cleaning your room and serving you drinks, all those people are Maya, and that there are 4 million Maya in the Maya countries of Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, and Mexico. There's 4 million Maya. They're the largest indigenous group of people anywhere in the world, so they didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, also, I'd like to just add, too, that the Maya, you know, to get to know them it's a wonderful process. But it isn't something that happens easily or right away. And I can see people going down there and going, you know, what is this? I mean, what does it mean? And the Maya, who could speak English, would be less apt to tell them what it means to them or what it means to their community because of just the nature of their relationship with the tourism or with the people coming down looking for quick answers. And it's a process of living there and slowly letting the environment peel away at you and letting go of layers. And the community can see this process going on in you. So for me, it took a long time. I had a lot of skins that needed to come off and let the environment soak in and work on me. And they tended to know when I was ready for communication about certain things. It's not like you could just go and ask a question and get an answer. They're pretty close-mouthed. You know, there's only 3 books published, ancient Maya works. But I think there's a consensus among the people, the anthropologists and a lot of the archaeologists, that there are other books, but we're not able to see them. They're not going to show them to us. Okay.
And another part of that, too, is that you have to remember that the Spanish colonial period was so incredibly harsh on the Maya people that they became closed-mouthed, where they didn't share any information with outsiders because they remembered when they were burned at the stake for their beliefs and where all their sacred books were burned. And they remember that goes back from stories in their family that go way back. So they know that they're connected to it, but they haven't always been, to sum that up, that real forthcoming with that.
They'd rather thought of then as being extinct because people won't bother them?
That's part of it.
Sure.
That's probably part of it. Also, I have to bring up, too, a language barrier. The vast majority of the Maya people in the Yucatan, their first language is a Maya dialect. It was not Spanish. So for many of them, they, for years and years and years, had no way to communicate with the tourists. The tourists didn't speak Maya. The tour guides only spoke Spanish. They didn't really have a way to even have a voice or any say in what was going on because no one knew what they were saying.
And the tour guides were all Spanish. And so they couldn't talk to the Maya. So they would just blurb the same old stuff.
For many years, the government body that does the licensing on the tour guides in the Yucatan, they wouldn't even let Maya guys be guides because they said their Spanish wasn't good enough. And, it was very much so that, in a way, that has kind of protected them. But I would like to talk about something about Clifford's point of that we've lost our ability, we've forgotten the ways, we're losing the ways on how we need to treat the earth with respect. That falls in line completely with the Maya stories of the previous creations, in that every one of the creations, when they happen, the original people were given the information on what they needed to do to live in harmony with the earth. But as people, as it goes down through generations, it gets lost and diluted, and over the course of time, by the end of the cycle, people have completely forgot what they're doing. They've gone totally crazy. They're doing the ant dance. And this is a cycle that keeps repeating itself. According to the Maya elders, if you were to go to Guatemala and say to them, are you worried that on December 21, the whole world's going to end? They would say to you, look, if human beings don't start acting like human beings and really being in that respect, being as a human, that we are animals, and that means that we are part of the earth. But that because we're human, we have a different set of consciousness that we have to be responsible for. And that with every one of these destruction cycles, the survivors of the last cycle, the ones that can ride the wave into the next creation, are the people who have come to terms with how to walk in alignment and respect with the earth. And that the other people, they don't have a very good chance of making it. Now, that sounds really doomsday and everything, but if you ask them, they're going to tell you that truth. And it's not going to happen on December 21. It's going to happen over the course of years, and we're going to see who makes it through and who doesn't.
Let me ask you a question here. Is there a legend among these people about visitors from elsewhere, star people, ancient astronauts, that kind of thing?
This is anecdotal.
Of course.
Yeah, but here's something anecdotal. Playa del Carmen was a small town when Johnny first visited there, and that's in the Yucatan. And when she first went there, it was very small. There was one little thatched hotel, very quiet. And now, of course, it is just a huge, booming metropolis, much to the chagrin of a lot of people. But anyway, the symbol that they put down in the Yucatan, as you go into this this relatively new city, is a UFO, and this is a big brass commemorative thing for the town and the area, and it was put there by the government, not necessarily by the Playa del Carmen proper. And it's a huge brass medallion set in brick as you come in. It's about 6 feet tall, and it's a UFO over Chichen Itza sending a beam down, and it's in bronze. It's this huge thing. And anyone that I asked over the years that I went there would go totally silent when I asked what the meaning of that is. They will not talk about it. So, you know, they do have, they do definitely have connections, but they're so tight-lipped about it. There's some things that we saw in Chiapas or heard about, cow parts dried and found on pyramids that hadn't been taken back from the jungle yet. When they went in to measure and excavate and do things, they found all these cow parts dried up and as if they had been dropped on the top of these pyramids. And when I asked about it, and these would be the Cholmaya up in the highlands of Chiapas, again, very closed mouth and quiet about it. And I don't know what to make of it, but they do have stories.
Did I interject something here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the history of what the conquering people did to these Indian tribes, we in our portion of the world, oh, by the way, the Mayan and those people down in South America, we are all related.
And you know what? I want to ask you more about that, Clifford, as you finish your comments in our next segment. You're with Gene and Chris because you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
What you're about to hear will help you remember where to find the best water filter products at the best prices on the web. There. Did you hear it? BerkeyShop.com. With the newest Berkey products in stock, the best prices on Berkey products anywhere, fast free shipping, and the most amazing customer service. BerkeyShop.com. Home of all Berkey water filter products like the Big Berkey for producing clean drinking water by removing contaminants, chemicals, heavy metals, and even fluoride. Call 1-888-6-BERKEY to get your Berkey water filter. Perfect for home, travel, camping, or disasters. And BerkeyShop.com is the perfect site to get your Berkey because we're open 24/7 with free shipping and no sales tax. Even celebrities and NFL athletes shop at BerkeyShop.com. Call 1-888-6-BERKEY to order your Berkey products. That's 888-6-BERKEY or go to BerkeyShop.com. 888-6-BERKEY or go to BerkeyShop.com. For everything Berkey, shop BerkeyShop.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
Ancient Mysteries, Mayan legends, what's going on? We're going to have a bumpy ride into the future. Is there a future? With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Brendan O'Brien, Johnny Chanel, and Clifford Mahoney. Clifford, you were about to start a statement in response to what Brendan and Johnny were talking about. Do you want to continue that, please?
One of the things that is quite prevalent among the indigenous tribes is that, first of all, they had that knowledge was open because we didn't have any secret codes. We didn't, you know, everything was open. When the conquering nations came over there, they destroyed everything. So after a while, we said, well, we cannot afford to show them or tell them what we have. And this is very true here in my part of the world, too. We showed them everything. We gave them everything because we did not have that warlike, conquering type mentality or my ancestors. So, but they took those away, and then the next group will come in there. And so, of course, in the meantime, the populations are declining, and there are certain people within those tribes or those groups that took the knowledge and kept it, and they had to put them in secrecy because of what they did with the majority of the records. Even in my tribe here, I would say that up to about 1930s, they took about half, at least half or maybe more of what our ritual sites maintain for our practices. And then, of course, at that time, then the anthropologists, the archaeologists, the tourists, and all that came into the play, and it became commercialized. So they stole a lot of this stuff. What they don't realize is that a lot of the stuff that they stole is the one that were the connectors or the working parts of whatever machinery they had, whether it was a pyramid, whether it was a spring, whether it was a stargate. When you take off a vital part of any machinery, and these were like machines, but God-given machinery, so some of us that are left, we got remnants of it, and we keep that very dear to our people. But at the same time, we also have those people that do not have the respect because they were bought out. I mean, it's easy to go and get an artifact and sell it for your own personal gain. So that's a lot of things that are going back and forth with these things. And those people that are up in the mountains and people like myself over here, I don't even talk to my community, those people that are in charge of those things because of what they have done in the past. So it works on both sides. The indigenous tribes themselves went out there and sold those out. When you're poor and when you're hungry, you can sell anything just to maintain your life. The same thing happened over here. But at the same time, there's some people that are emerging again that are, you gotta keep the fire going type thing. So there's a lot of people that are coming back in the tribes that have got the knowledge or will be learning the knowledge, and it's a God-given knowledge. And in our ways, it is not supposed to go away. It's not supposed to fail. You got to look at it in a real, real broad way of thinking. So, but that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. Chris, there's a whole bunch of questions in our forum, and maybe this helps flesh out some of the concerns that our listeners have about these subjects. You want to dig into a couple of those questions and see where we take them?
I think we've addressed several of them already, but Sand and Fire, who's one of our longtime posters, I think his question sums up a lot of what we've been talking about and the misperception out there in the world about the whole time period that we're in. And the Maya, and his question is, a lot of people are touting the Mayans as being an extinct people. However, I've seen several shows and documentaries now, including the Paracast, in which people claiming to be modern-day Maya are speaking out, and some are even addressing the meaning around 2012, trying to set the New Agers and the Preppers straight. How much of the Mayan culture is still around, and for that matter, how many Mesoamericans can trace their heritage and bloodline back to actual Maya who may have lived 5 to 10,000 years ago? Now, we have addressed some of that.
There has to be quite a few people. There are a million Maya living in the United States right now. It's monumental, really. There's probably in Mexico, of course, there's a whole bunch of people that are part Maya and part Spanish. But the whole misperception, the Maya not being present, is really a shame because the Maya culture is alive and vibrant, and you can anywhere in the Maya world, there are medicine people that, you know, they're called shamans or jamans or whatever, that are real ancestrally come from hundreds of years of medicine people that they were given, and they're given it legitimately, that are still practicing the ancient ways with a little bit of Catholic stuff thrown in, just a little bit, But if you go to places like Chichicastenango and you go up to the Pascual Abash Hill, the medicine people that worship at that hill there, at the sacred rock on that hill, they're doing the same ceremony that their ancestors did for hundreds of years. The only thing I would say that's different from 1,000 years ago is that instead of sacrificing humans, they sacrifice chickens.
Well, that's at least more encouraging to know. I'm glad to know that's chickens,
also,
not humans.
Also, I'd like to say in Palenque, even when we lived there, the Chol Maya, there's over 30 Mayan dialects, and each dialect comes with a group of Maya people, and they all have an origin. And they have certain things within their community that they are known for doing among the Maya. And each of these Maya communities has a responsibility. And from the weavers in the highlands to the stone craftsmen, all these different communities have different responsibilities. I knew a Maya in the Yucatan who was given stories passed from his father, who was passed from his father all the way down, about some of the secrets to how they built the pyramids. And so they definitely have connections. And a lot of these Maya people live right in with these ruins. When they came in and found these pyramids, there were people, communities living there. And they are descendants from those particular ruins. They know them personally. They consider them a part of their house.
You can even see that if you look on the iconography of the stelae and the carvings and the frescoes in the Maya pyramids. When you go to different Maya regions, you will actually see that the people on the carvings look just like the people that you're seeing day to day in town. The same shape, each individual components, like in Chiapas and Tabasco in the Olmec region, the people have very distinctive noses and full mouths that look just like the Olmec heads. When you go to other parts of, like if you go to Honduras, the people have a very different flair on their nose and facial features that's very distinctive towards that part of the Maya world. So when you're looking at the stelae and you're seeing the same face as the person that just checked you into your hotel, you'd have to be really out of it to not notice that's direct descendancy.
By the way, there are lots of ways to contact us here at the Paracast. You can write us, news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. You can send us a tweet, The Paracast. What else can we be? The Paracasts on Twitter. We got so much more to cover about Mayan mysteries and lots more with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we are basically posing your questions, listeners. Number of questions listeners asked. Some things, fair amount of things we've covered already with our guests, Clifford Mahoody, Brendan O'Brien, and Johnny Chanel, but we have some more things to discuss. You want to wrap up that last discussion, Johnny, or go on to another question?
Can I just interject something, too? Another thing, too, is once you get in, you have traveled to these communities and you see the different building styles, both now and the ancient building styles, you almost get the feeling that they have different dialects and they look differently, that they almost come from different parts of the world, and it would almost shock you. There are up in the cloud forest near San Cristobal, there are a group of Maya who all dress in white. They're very slender, very tall. They don't look like the short Maya that are down in the Yucatan or the Chol Maya. They look like they're from the from India. Their affect and the way they are. Whereas if you're, let's say, down in the Yucatan, you'll see Chinese resemblance. You go to another community and you'll see Japanese. And it's very evident that they're different people, but they're the same. And with one last thing, all Maya have what's called is the Mongolian spot at birth. And the only other people who have it on Earth are people from Mongolia. So at birth, at the bottom of every Mayan spine is a spot. It's a brown birthmark, and it's very well pronounced. As they get older, sure, the spot disappears.
It goes away.
Okay. There you go.
All right. I have a fast question about this, and that is, you mentioned that a million of the Mayan people live in the United States. Mm-hmm. Are they assimilated enough into our society that maybe one of them would come on the show and talk about the legends?
Absolutely.
And their history.
Absolutely.
And culture.
There's a woman that teaches up near you who would be a wonderful guest on your show, and I'll give you that information after the show.
Okay.
I just have to say that one of the reasons that we've got a million Maya living in the United States is because of the Civil War in Guatemala. And during that period, the government and the military was committing genocide on the indigenous
and
people.
And paramilitary.
Yeah. And a lot of those people were able to get amnesty and come to the United States to get away from that. So that was an influx as a result of the Civil War.
Chris, you have another question, please.
Well, this is a long kind of statement from one of our longtime posters, W.W. Kirk, and he does kind of sum up what we've been talking about in terms of the Maya. And one of the things I think he's interested in knowing, though, is why did we see a collapse of the real urban city-based Maya during the 8th and 9th centuries, which is 200-300 years before the at least 300 years before the Spanish arrived. That's part one. And part two is, are they still holding on to some of the books that may have survived the Spanish Inquisition destroying all the examples of Mayan writing?
Part two is a hard one to answer, but I will address part one. When we get into the whole issue of the Maya people and who they are today in that respect of they're holding on to their traditions and everything. We have to remember that they have been through many catastrophes. The Maya people are incredibly resilient. The word hurricane, that's a Maya word, huracan. Okay. When a hurricane happens in Cancun, it can lay the whole town down and it was 4 months later, you wouldn't even know that anything happened. The people just pick themselves up and go keep going. So remember that the Maya people are incredibly resilient. And when I think that what happened with their civilization, we can make a lot of conjectures, but the geologists have made it very clear that the deforestation that they had to do in order to build their temples, because to make the limestone for the blocks, it all had to be put in a kiln of lots of wood. They had to cut down all of these trees. If you saw the ancient Maya world at its peak, the Yucatan would have hardly any trees on it.
You would be able to name the trees like they do in Japan.
Right. And so in that respect, if you cut down all the trees, then the rain doesn't come. And the geologists have shown through the tree rings and everything that during that period where the end of the Maya civilization, that they did not have enough rain or food to take care of everything that they had built up.
And now, let me interject
like
right here.
The rise and fall of Rome or something.
Let me interject something, too. At the same time, you see the classic Maya, which I believe Clifford was very eloquent in stating that they had, at the beginning of their rituals, they had all the parts of the ritual. They had all the mechanisms that they needed in order to keep balance. But even in their own world, with power, with the assumption of power and kings and the strife and the fighting and the resources dwindling, as that happened,
the Toltec.
Also the Toltec coming in. But what happened is, this, you know, I don't want to put it in a gross way, but like they were pulling so many hearts in Chichen Itza to try to get the same result that during the classic period they would have gotten with one heart in a ritualized warfare. So they got out of balance. They became out of balance. And that's why they literally walked away from the pyramids and those rituals that didn't keep things in balance anymore. And that was the fatal classic period, when the balance was lost, when the keys to balance and the rituals to balance weren't being recognized. That's when they had their major warfare during this strife, during the loss of the balance that they had.
And as part of that, in the classic period of the Maya, really at their height, what was called the classic period, in that period, the kings and the queens had an incredible amount of responsibility to bear. It was not an easy job. It was not a posh job. It was not cush. They had the responsibility of doing these...
Piercing my genitalia with a stingray spine, that's got to hurt.
Right. Well, the responsibilities of the king and the queen were that great. They were the ones that had to let the blood. The queen had to pull a rope of spine thorns through her tongue, and then she'd have a vision that she could tell the people what was the appropriate thing to do. And it was their responsibility. In the post-classic, the children rebelled. the warriors took over and they said, we don't need mom and dad anymore. And we don't need them to do that way. We're going to change if the gods want blood. But we'll just pick cousins up out of the field and take them back home and rip their heart out and throw them down the bottom of the pyramid. That was later. That was a later period of the Maya. In the original classic form, the kings and queens and the priesthood of the Maya people, they had so much spiritual responsibility. Their whole life was a spiritual act. They didn't get to be normal people. They didn't get to set foot on the ground. They were, their whole life was doing the rituals to keep everything correct.
And there's a wonderful book. It's called, I don't want to have a brain stump. The Last of the Maya Lords. But it talks about what the responsibilities of the kings and queens were. And they basically opened and closed portals. What they did, they were the ones who were able to open a portal to connect with the ancestors. And they did it through ritual, and they needed the whole community. But each king and queen in each place, like Johnny said, it would not be a job you'd want. To most it would be a curse. But when that was going on, life was like poetry. And then as things started to degrade, as they started to take away from the land and weren't able, and deforesting, which is going on today, as they were doing that, they could not live up to the responsibility because, again, they were out of balance.
We have this responsibility to meet up with before we go on. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FLOJAK.com. Be sure to spell FLOJAK.com or call 855-4-FLOJACK, 855-4-FLOJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, a special roundtable discussion about Mayan mysteries and more with Brendan O'Brien, Clifford Mahudi, Johnny Chanel. We've been answering your questions and focusing on further subjects. Brendan, you want to go on before we get to another question?
Well, I have a quick question for Clifford that's along the lines of our conversation. Now, Johnny and Brendan, Clifford, mentioned a vision by ordeal. Now, I'm sure the Pueblo people have similar traditions. Of course, on the plains, you have the Sundance among the Lakota and other plains Indians. Would be an example of ordeal. What are some of the more sacred ordeal processes within the Pueblo people?
Well, one of the things in Zuni is that we have a ritual every 4 years. It happens to be this year that we go to a place called the home of the Kachinas, and it's also called Zuni Heaven for a better lack of word, I guess. And it's right here about 50 miles from where I'm at. It's near a town called St. John's in Concho, Arizona. And when they go on that pilgrimage, all the priesthood, the Kachina people, all the ritual-related people, they go there. They have a stargate there. And that's where they get their visions of what's going to be coming in the future. You're looking at least about 200 people that go on the pilgrimage. And in previous times, there's been a lot of things that were shown them. For example, the Zunis knew about 9/11 in June, right before the solstice. And we did not know at that time because there's no dates given. They just said that this will happen in the future. And what they saw in June, it happened in September. So that was one of the shortest time frame. But there's also other things that were given on the last one 4 years ago. The premonition or the vision that was given then was that half the world was dark and the half the world was in light. And there was a lot of UFO activity at that time when they were going. So they were probably interpreted as, well, it looks like we're getting to the point now where the world will come to be, either it stops or something will happen where half the world will become black and the half the world become light.
And Clifford, that totally is in lines with what Don Alejandro, one of the Guatemala timekeepers that came up here on a very rare speaking tour about 5 or 6 years ago, that's exactly what he said. The Maya were expecting the sun not to come up one day. And, of course, the admonishment to the listeners was, if that happens, lock your doors, lock your windows, cover your windows, and no matter who comes to the door, don't let them in. So I find it very interesting. What, Johnny and Brennan, what do you think about this correlation?
Well, I do know that in preparing for this end time of the end calendar and beginning of another, that there are a lot of, there's a lot of rumors that float around the Maya world, that even Brendan and I, when we first went to the Yucatan together in 1999, we met up with somebody, a well-traveled guy that had really integrated himself into a bunch of Maya communities. He kind of looked like Jung's wise old man with gray hair and very interesting guy. And he told us that the Maya all said that at the end of, the, when this happens, at the end of the calendar thing, that the place to be is in Xela, which is a community way up in the Guatemala Highlands, and that if you were there, you would be safe. Well, it became sort of a gossipy thing around with everybody of, like, you know, well, when 2012 comes, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, we used to make jokes with our friends that had, that own land in Palenque and say, well, we're going to sell this. This is going to be beachfront property in 2012, you know. There, you know, it's, there's a lot of rumors that go around about what it's going to be, but there's nothing definitive on record. And we could have a complete polar shift. That would not surprise me at all. I think the thing is that we all really need to be prepared, aware that we're going to...
How do you prepare for a polar shift? Let me ask you that.
Well, there's absolutely no way. This is what really is kind of puzzling to me, is that why are they hoarding food and water? And because when it happens, we in the Zuni world know that we are only supposed to hunker down, so to speak, and to carry out what our rituals were given us from the beginning, which in this case are the prayer system, the ritual. We have a very complex paying the gods system here in Zuni. We still do it on a regular basis. I do that every month during the full moon. And there's other people that are in other societies and other groups that we still follow that pattern, because that's what the prayers are all about. The prayer is that we do not know when the end will come, however, because we are carrying out the duties given by the gods from the beginning. We only hope that we will be given that chance to survive into the next world. And the prayers are very extensive. But I think what has happened, this whole mindset about the end of the world type situation, there's a lot of people that's gotten involved in it that doesn't speak for the indigenous people that have that esoteric knowledge about the future. And my observation is that they do this just like anything else for commercial and monetary gain. But
so basically there's a gain if you can sell the premise that the world's going to end at a specific date and time. You profit from it because you sell foods that you have to store for the end of civilization, or you sell programs or books or presentations to help you prepare for the other side, whatever it is.
Also, for some people, it's not just monetary gain. Some people, actually, they just need to get attention.
Or there's also the fear factor. And, you know, a society held in fear, so we have these doomsday prophecies that come around a lot. And what I think that should be is the more out of balance that we become, and we know we're out of balance. I mean, let's get that straight. You know, I think there's a guilty conscience, too, you know, because if you know that we're out of balance and you're not doing anything about it, you can see people regress quickly to, you know, doomsday prophecies and building bunkers, and kind of keeps people in check.
We've seen that through the years.
Yeah, buying 450 million rounds of 40 caliber ammunition that
exactly.
Department of Homeland Security or somebody just bought.
And see, you know, I really, Clifford, I have to say that the way that you just expressed what you said about that you offer your prayers and you hope that those prayers will work and be sufficient, That's the very humble way that the Maya people approach it, too. They're very much, whatever it is it's going to be, well, we've been through a lot of stuff, and we're going to go through some stuff, and we just hope that, you know, each individual on their own responsibility does the things that are appropriate and respectful enough that we can persevere. And also part of that thing, too, is that I have to point out a very huge cultural difference between the Western mindset that believes that you only come here one time and that's it, and the indigenous people reality that we are ancestors, we are descendants of our ancestors, and that we are always being reborn. The Maya people are very, very much into their ancestors. If you're in Guatemala, if you want to marry a woman, if you're a man and you want to marry a woman, you have to go to the daykeeper, and they have to go to your family altars and to ask the ancestors whether it's okay for the two of you to get married. If it turns out that you have a couple of ancestors that had a problem with each other, then the daykeeper will say, you can't get married. You guys are going to fight all the time. So there's very much a continuity and communication with the ancestors that makes them fearless, in that they're not afraid of dying the same way that people on the Western world are. In the Western world, we think, I die and that's it. Oh, my God, that's it. I got one life to live. The Maya people don't see that way. It's all walking through. It's not even like reincarnation. They see it more as a DNA continuation.
So basically you go into another universe or reality. I'm going to ask about that with our guests, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.